Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Modern Farming Podcast. We welcome you back for another week here. I have Brad Turner with me. We're really excited to come to you today, as we are going to try to do every week, maybe every other week, depending on our schedule. But, you know, look, we said it before, we Brad and I are so incredibly blessed to be able to do this, to be able to be given a platform to do this. And it wouldn't be possible without the Green Gene Foundation. If you want to learn more about the Green Gene Foundation, you can find them at the greengenefoundation.org. And the amazing people, Matt and Rachel and everybody who helps that organization and has provided Brad and I and Logan Cutts, who you'll meet later, given us this incredible platform to talk about what we love so much, which is agriculture. And today we're going to bring to you, as we will every time we're on, we'll give you everything we got. But let me first introduce to you Brad Turner. Brad is probably one of the smartest guys I've ever met in the field of agriculture here, especially here in Florida. Very unique individual who's been in the citrus industry basically his entire life. And I've already learned a ton from him, and I can't wait to get into this episode because it's really, really what we do and really what Brad does. It's not just a job for him. It's a lifestyle, right? So Brad, I know, you and I have been talking about an article that was put out, maybe 10 days ago about citrus production in Florida, not only citrus production in Florida, but citrus production in the United States. And the numbers are downright scary. And we'll dig into the reasons why, but it looks like this year specifically might be a record low for Florida, and certainly maybe historically a record low for Florida, and certainly a record low for the United States as a whole. And a couple of these articles, you know, you could find it on Bloomberg. You could find it on basically if you go to Google and you search in citrus production in Florida. And you hit the little news button, you're going to get 50 of these articles, right? And all of them pretty much are kind of pointing to the same thing, Brad, which is easy to point to, right? Is weather and the hurricanes that Florida experienced last year and several years ago have done a significant damage. There's no doubt. However, I think there's a little bit more going on than just hurricanes. I think the easy button in agriculture is weather. When we have, you know, really bad weather events, whether it's really hot, really dry, really cold, too much snow, not enough snow, too much rain, all of us in the ag industry, we live and die by the weatherman's report. But really, there's a lot more going on to citrus. Specifically here in Florida than just hurricanes. So we're going to dig into a little bit of that, but Brad, just real quick, get your 30,000 foot view on these articles we've been talking about.
Yeah, Nick. Yes. I mean, citrus has been in a decline for the past 15 years. And a lot of people have heard of this latest disease, the citrus greening. It's a bacterium. And it's been a tough one. I mean, we've had diseases and pests for years and we've battled, but this one's been really hard to overcome. And we've gone from 250 million, a quarter of a billion 90-pound boxes of citrus 15, 20 years ago, 250 million down to 12 to 15 million this year. But it's been a steady decrease. I mean, last year was only 18 million. The year before that, it was 25. So you start comparing those numbers to 15 years ago, it's pretty substantial. And so I don't want to downplay the hurricanes. I mean, I've been out in the field and I have friends, citrus growers, and I've seen some crazy devastation with uprooted trees, lots of fruit on the ground. But the real problem is the pest and disease issue. That is what is causing the major reduction in fruit quality and quantity in Florida.
Yeah. And those numbers are incredible. So what was it? 10 years ago, a decade ago, we were at 250 million?
Closer to 15 to 20, but we held in that over 200,000 90-pound boxes of citrus. And now the market was depressed at the time. I was heavy in the business at that time, and we weren't really making money, even though we had production, because it was really too much. And a lot came in from Brazil, Mexico, But yeah, it's been a pretty substantial decrease over the past 15 years.
Yeah. And I can't say enough. I mean, excuse me. I can't say enough about how big of a drop that is. I mean, so to put that in perspective, I mean, the U.S., when we think of U.S. agriculture, we think of corn and soybeans, right? And corn and soybean yields have been on a steady increase year over year, right? There's some states and some years that, fall back. Their yields will be depressed for some reason, or a region of a state, their yields will be depressed for some reason. But never have we seen a million bushel difference in corn.
Right.
And in a single decade, that is unheard of. And if that happened, pretty much U.S. agriculture would be in the complete tank, right? Because the world lives on corn and soybeans. But for citrus, and really, Brad, citrus is really grown in really two regions, right? You got us and you got California, right? I'm sure there's something in between there, but
a million boxes in Texas, but not a lot.
It's incredible. So this has not just overnight. This has been happening for the last 15, 20 years. And what is it doing to the industry here in Florida? I mean, how are people kind of dealing with that kind of loss in production? How are growers dealing with that?
Oh, a lot of the small guys have gone out. We've got processing plants closing down, a lot of packing houses. I mean, a lot of packing houses have closed down. It just takes so much fruit to keep them in business. And we're going to get to a point, if it keeps going the way it is, when the last juice plant closes down, the growers producing juice oranges, I don't know what they'll do. Fresh fruit, there'll always be a way to market. But
yeah,
it takes a big plant to make orange juice.
So that's a good point. Scary. Yeah, sorry. And that's a really great point. Most people maybe don't understand Florida citrus. Where does Florida citrus go? What markets does Florida citrus serve?
Yeah, the majority of Florida citrus is not fresh fruit. It's juice. I'm not sure of the actual percentage, but a lot of it goes in the can. It's frozen concentrate, single strength juice, whichever. But unlike California, where the majority of their fruit goes to fresh, very just culls go to juice. So we are pretty much the juice producer. Before greening, we had some of the best quality, just because of where we are on the latitude line, we had some of the best quality of fruit in the world before this latest disease has kind of kicked our tail. But so we can grow very high quality. We could grow very high quality, internal quality, where with fresh fruit, you're not as focused. You want good internal quality, but people buy with their eyes when they're buying fresh fruit. So it's more appearance. And orange juice has got to taste good or you're going to spit it out.
Right. You can only stand so much bitterness, right?
Before.
So we've got Florida as, basically fills the juice market. You got California, that's the fresh fruit market. And so when you talk about these plants, I mean, you're talking about multi-million dollar crushing plants, right? Juicing plants.
Yeah, that big evaporators that just take the water out and just leave the solid, the sugar and the nutrition, and then that's how it's most of juices moved around that way, and then it's reconstituted.
Yeah, incredible. And those are throughout the state of Florida, right? I mean, top to bottom. Yeah, I mean, just an incredible. So when you look at the industry, and you've been doing this forever, when you look at the industry, like how maybe if you could frame it up for those of us who aren't in the ag world, it started here, right? Like you said, 200 million boxes, 20 years ago. How did we get from there to where we are today? Like, how did this all start? It obviously just wasn't three hurricanes in 2024.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, it started with, you know, we've had our share of diseases even before greening. We had, that's kind of hard. So when this bacterium gets in there, it starts clogging that. So it makes it even harder for nutrition to flow. And so trees just aren't healthy. So we see all these symptoms of deficiencies and roots declining. And it's been a hard one to battle. I mean, in the beginning, it was really just, let's kill the bug, let's kill the vector, let's kill the pest. And we're still doing that, but most of the focus was on that. Then it started going a little bit into nutrition, more nutrition, maybe better nutrition. And that's where my heart is in the nutrition side. And then to today, they just, and of course, they want to kill the vector, try to control the vector, but it's to get a new rootstock or a new scion variety that can withstand the disease. Mm-hmm. So, and that's where we're at now. And then, as I think we were going to talk about the antibiotic injections, therapies they started to try to get us over the hump, bridge the gap or whatever, until that variety comes out, is kind of where we are today. And we're not having a lot of success.
Yeah. So, and before we get into, you know, sort of the treatments that I know are happening today, and some really actually fascinating treatments, a lot of things that show a lot of promise, at least on paper or yeah, in a lab. But before we do that, let me back up a little bit. You talked about a vector. And for those who don't know, you know, forgive us, we often get into this, you know, kind of a vector, Brad, what is, can we just call it a bug? It's the thing that transmits the
right
disease.
Right? It moves the disease from plant to plant.
And a lot of times that can be a pest, a bug, usually a flying bug, right? Mm-hmm. But they don't always just fly in, right? They can come in shipments. They can come by boat. They can come by airplane. Sometimes it's soil borne, right?
Yeah.
I remember there was a time in the 90s or even late 90s, early 2000s, where you would walk through avocado groves in California, and there would literally be these pans on the floor before you walked out onto the farm. As you walked through the office and you kind of walked through this decontamination zone, there was these huge pans on the floor, like little pools, that you would make sure your boots were saturated mm-hmm. to disinfect your boots. And as we moved from field to field, we would do the same thing, down to the fact that there was at one point in research corn where we had a disease come through and we were walking around with Tyvek suits on. So a vector is really serious. When we talk about this vector that's transmitting this disease around, it's usually a bug, right? An insect. But a lot of times it could come on your boots as easy as, you know, hitching a ride. Maybe you visited another country. Sure. Brad talked about scion, you know, the scion wood. So when you hear of people grafting trees, for those of you who aren't, you know, in the business here, but a lot of times the trees that you have or the fruits that you have, they have a rootstock that is really good at defending against some sort of pest or disease. And then they'll graft another piece of that type of plant on top of it that is really good at producing fruit. So not always is it the same rootstock as it is, you know, the part of the tree that produces the fruit. So when Brad talks about good scion wood or that plant material, scientists and agriculturists and agronomists around the globe are always looking out for that variety that shows better defense against any said disease or pest. Right? Did I sum that up? Yeah. Well enough. So thanks everybody for jumping on with us. We look forward to talking to you again here very shortly.